You know, the bard? Shakespeare? Oh, to hell with it.
Hurry it up, Finn.
Fucking all right.
Ryan's good eye opened wide. Just as Finnegan half turned away from the woman, gesturing with his arm toward the dark desolation of the swamp behind them, she finally began to take her right hand from under the blanket.
Fire blast.
The G-12 coughed. Finn jumped, the Model 92 Beretta pistol jerking into his fist. JB raised his mini-Uzi, searching for the threat. Doc was fumbling for his Lama. Christy Roth had drawn her H&K P7A13 9mm hand blaster. The Cajun woman lurched sideways as the bullet stitched into her, all hitting within a hand span under the ribs on the left side of her body. Despite her great size and strength, the three bullets sent her staggering. The blanket fell away, revealing her nakedness. Blood came from the bunched wounds, dark and thick, dappling her thighs as she tottered, fighting for balance.
Bastard!
She sank to her knees, then slid in the dirt on her face, both hands clutched beneath her, holding the triple wound.
Ryan!
What is it, Finn?
You said she could go! You fucking said...
Look at her hand, Finn. In her right hand.
She still lived, if the residual nervous twitching and jerking of the body could be called living. Finn kicked her over with the toe of his boot, staring down as the corpse rolled on its back, breasts sagging, blood and urine trickling across the thighs and belly. The fingers were clenched, and Finn bent down and pried them open. Then he stood up and shook his head at what he saw, at what they all saw. It was an open cutthroat razor, honed down over countless years until it was only a sliver of steel, hardly as wide as a man's fingernail. The handle was of dull white bone, broken and mended with twine.
Fucking double poor crazy bitch.
Lori took a few steps away from the body, looking toward the nearest buildings, all shrouded with thick vegetation.
We go in there? Food? Shelter?
Shelter, yeah. After 100 years or so, I'm not so damn sure about any food. Let's go see, and let's take care.
The four men and two women moved out of the deep, lush greenery, picking their way along what had once been the farthest outpost of West Lowellton. They passed a partly completed suburban development of medium-priced housing that once pushed the sprawling frontiers of Lafayette deeper into swampland. Nearly 100 years ago, in the remote past.
Moudon?
Oui, Baron. Moudon.
They are becoming of interest to me, my dear and loyal compatriot Mephisto.
We'll take them.
Such confidence. What of the teams of sect men out in the green?
Pekka said they gone.
Why were they not kept for me?
they were...
The sect boss hesitated, wiping a hand down the leg of his white pants. He noticed that his fingers left a sweaty trail.
Yes?
They were taking a pig.
A ritual?
Yes.
Baron Tormont pulled himself upright, towering over the sect boss as he strode around the motel room, seeing himself reflected again and again as he passed the mirror over the oyster pink wash basin.
Had I given my permission?
Mephisto had known the question was coming, had anticipated it from the moment one of the patrol teams in the swamp wags had reported back to him.
I had 1 in 5 blasted, Baron.
Only 1 in 5?
They are useful to us, so close to the part of West Lowellton where the boy runs.
The great leonine head nodded slowly, and Mephisto knew that he'd guessed right. He would live for another day.
Truly spoken. 1 in 5? Good.
The Outlanders took out one man.
Who?
De Latour. The one with the beard forked as if lightning had struck it.
Was he not the one who shot the black man in the buggy a day back?
Yes.
Revenge?
I believe so. We can ask when we take them.
And they will tell you, my dear Mephisto?
They will tell me.
Where are they now?
That was the one question that the elegant sect boss had been dreading. His patrols had returned within the hour from their search, and he knew that the Baron would have heard the rumbling engines as they ground into the ville.
One woman was missing from Moudon.
Who?
Marie Laveau.
Who?
Marie. Jeanine was her younger sister, the one that you ordered to be...
I know. Watch your careless tongue, Mephisto. There are many who would welcome your fall. It was Marie, the large woman? I remember her.
She was...
Caution sealed Mephisto's lips and made him reconsider his description of the Laveau woman as a giantess. It would not sit well with the Baron, whose head scraped the ceiling of the bridal suite at the Best Western Snowy Egret Motel.
She was a fine, strong woman, was what she was. She took me and wept for more. Not like some of these fucking little tight-cunted bitches who scream and bleed, shrieking that I'm tearing them apart. No, she... She is dead, you said, Mephisto? The toll rises for these strangers.
She was shot 3 times at close range. Sec Patrol leader said the slugs were strange.
Tremont sat down, the bed sinking under his weight. On the wall behind him was a painting that seemed to show a murky orange sunset and a pale blue sky streaked with fiery chem clouds.
Strange? Strange.
Caseless small bore. High impact. Never seen anything like them.
This was near where the Snow Wolf lives?
Yes.
Are they to be allied against us, Mephisto? Is this the root of the tree? The kernel of the fruit? Will the two blades be forged as one? Shall the sky and earth wed? Will water marry fire? Will the wolf cleave to the panther? Go get that fucking ice suit of yours dirty. Track them and take them, that's all. No more words or I'll reach into your fucking chest and part the ribs and tear out your lungs.
Mephisto carefully closed the door of the suite and stood in the narrow corridor, his eyes squeezed shut, trying to control himself. The ice machine churned. He nearly wiped his hands on his pants again. Licking his dry lips, he ran his fingers through his tight, pomaded curls.
Mephisto, my brave and cunning friend, best find these strangers and bring them here quickly.
He thought he heard the Baron inside the room stepping toward the door, and he scampered away, set on his lethal mission. It was the middle of the morning. They had walked only 50 paces into the development when they saw a large board fixed to a triangle of steel scaffolding. It was covered in clear plastic and riveted to a wooden backing, the whole thing smeared and stained by the weather. JB went up to it and wiped his sleeve over the plastic, and then turned to the others, showing unusual excitement for such a taciturn man. For once, it would be absurdly easy for them to orient themselves.
Come here. It's a map of where we are. A map from before the long winter.
He fumbled in one of his capacious pockets for one of his favorite long, thin cheroots, then let his hand drop as he remembered that he'd smoked the last one too many mornings and too many thousands of miles behind him. The others gathered around, reading the notice. Doc read it aloud for Lori.
Live Oak Crescent is a master-planned community of top-class condominiums and townhomes set on the edges of the picturesque Atchafalaya Swamp. Affordability is our watchword. These homes are richly appointed, light, and surprisingly spacious. Each has a separate video and audio room, along with a relaxanasium in stripped Afromosia teak veneer. Hot tubs are optional extras that you'll want to add to your dream home.
What a load of stinking shit. They look like little fucking concrete boxes, right next to some more fucking little boxes, and some more right over there.
The community center at O'Brien and Stewart features Miami Beach styling with swimnasium, tennisarium, sun deck, and crafted